You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for July 1st, 2020, and sometimes to build it up, you gotta break it down.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. And this week we are balancing the destructive and creative impulses that lie within all of us, George.
That's right, yep.
For every time that I try to help Sam create something, he definitely destroys it 9 other times. So I've come to the conclusion that humans are naturally destructive.
I mean, would you say that Sam enjoys building like Legos?
I'm making fun of him, but like he actually is hyper enthusiastic about building things.
I mean, I hated taking things apart. It's like it's cleanup, yeah. You know?
Yeah, that has actually been surprising to me, where I have to have very tense negotiations with him about cleaning up at the end of the day, because he wants to leave everything out in full constructed glory, you know?
Yeah. Is it so that he can bask upon his great works?
Basically. I mean, like, it's like, well, no, we need the building. I built it. It's the building. That's where the people live. And it's like, Sam, this is a Lego stack. And also, someone is going to die late at night when they try to walk out, and yes, you've left a Home Alone style trap for them.
You need to take him to the beach and show him what true time means, you know, with the incoming and outgoing of the tide.
Like grains in the sand.
Like, you have approximately 15 minutes to finish building this castle, because soon Mother Nature will take back its sand.
This week we are talking about an article that Ian Walker wrote over at Kotaku. The article is titled, "Games Should Make Creating Just as Satisfying as Destroying," and he talks a little bit about he talks about Last of Us 2, because that's what everyone's talking about these days.
Naturally.
Our debrief is incoming. I still have not quite finished it yet, but I'm on my way, and
it is a doozy. It is a doozy, folks.
I mean, speaking of creating, goddamn, they created a lot of game.
I mean, it took them 7 years to make it, so
it's gonna take me 7 years to finish it. Ayo.
Yeah.
And compares, you know, that game is about, I mean, that game is just straight up about destroying human life and dog life at some points.
Yeah.
And talks about other games that he's been playing that are, more constructive or additive in nature. And, you know, where does that line, or where does that impulse come from? And, you know, how can you make something that is, I mean, this is an overused term, but, you know, viscerally satisfying to participate in the same way that we think of games that are, you know, highly viscerally satisfying when we talk about things like, you know, Call of Duty or any other type of, you know, more violent shooter. It tends to be in that context.
Yep.
And so we thought it'd be an interesting place to jump off and talk a little bit about, you know, our experiences there.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason that we've all sort of come to conclude that guns and first-person shooters and the violence of them are so satisfying is because there is an input and then an immediate action, you know? It's what makes guns so damn dangerous. It is a decisive and final decision that you make, right? But enacting your will upon the world, a fictional world, ideally, is going to be satisfying because you can exercise an agency, right? Yeah. Sometimes it's not very satisfying because you can't be creative with it and there's bad shooters and all that good stuff. But I think the immediate positive response of I act and an event takes place is one of the driving factors that make destruction fun, right?
Yep.
You and I used to live in a co-op, for better or worse, and we had...
for better, look at our, we're such upstanding taxpaying citizens. Check this out.
We made it, baby. Not everyone else did, though, from that house. That's
that
real.
True.
There was a glass breaking wall, if you recall. And this fucking glass breaking wall, man, like,
So many debates.
So many debates. So many arguments about it. But yeah. I think the fundamental reason that that wall persisted is that there was a lot of pent-up aggression amongst some individuals in college. No surprise there. Yep. And destroying something gives you this immediate feedback that can relieve some of that stress and anxiety that builds up in an environment like that, right? Yeah. And I understand that. And I think an article like this asking, hey, maybe games should be make creating just as satisfying as destruction, I think is actually a really great call out. Mm. Because the way that I see it is, when you're thinking about additive features to a game, how do you make them more immediate? How do you make them more impactful? How do you make them feel like they're an extension and an immediate extension of the player's agency, such that you can even get close to approximating the same feeling that destruction creates?
Yeah. I very much, I mean, this is a very, Bogostian way of looking at it, but I think so much of the destructive capabilities, other than just humans can be, you know, naturally destructive sometimes, is what you said at the very beginning, which is there is a certain mathematical elegance to a systems, a digital system, where something, the light is either on or off, and computers are very good at calculating rays very quickly and making lines between objects on a plane. And that's all a shooter really is at the end of the day. It's like, does this bullet line intersect with this other line? If so, get rid of other object. And it's like that sort of thing is just such a basic computational feature that it's really easy to fall into that as a just as a default of how to even make a game. I mean, it's the reason why, like Missile Command or Space Invaders or anything, like we've always had these things because it's really compelling on a ones and zeros perspective to make things disappear.
Yep. And then I think the other element, right, is goes back to your discussion with Sam and building things up as like a kid, right? Yeah. One of the things that can be tedious about building up is, oftentimes, if you want to model the process of building something, it is a slow process, you know, and it takes so much time. And I think tapping into that and understanding how do you make something fun that also necessarily has to take time is the biggest challenge. And you see, I think especially, you know, sim games or, you know, puzzle games or games where that act, that process could be so time consuming that it's completely just unfun, right? That's where the undo button, you know, or the ability to take back steps is fundamental to a lot of these game experiences, because you don't want to have to redo the building process, because the building process is not fun. It's the experimentation while you're doing it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's the, at a certain point you need to, you just, I mean, we talked about this before the show, you get into, I never got into it very, you know, very deeply, but Hannah would always play Minecraft, and at a certain point she'd always reach this point where she was basically just knee deep in logistics, where it's just, all right, in order to get this thing that I want to build, I need to first create a mine that will streamline my creation of redstone or whatever, and and like I'm gonna spend days just streamlining my operation so that I can eventually next week build up this building.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, like that's just a, it just takes a longer term mindset and investment to get into something like that. And it's easier to get lost halfway through that.
Yes. Thankfully, I have the mind that likes that kind of stuff in a weird way, right? Like project management is what I do for my job functionally. And it's kind of fun. So speaking of being knee deep in logistics, and we were talking about this a little bit before the show, but I've continued to play Postscriptum, which is that World War II simulation game. And I've joined a Discord of like-minded tryhards, right? And I have to go to section practice, and they take it very seriously. And most of them are like Canadian military, and it's very, very weird and surreal. And maybe I'll talk about it more in the future. But all that is to say, there's a whole logistics division that I'm now in within Postscriptum. And our entire job, which is, for example, we played tonight before recording. My job was to drive a truck and build defenses, you know? So I drove a truck back and forth, build some sandbags, build like a forward operating base. And mm-hmm. the act of creating is just literally you grab a shovel or a pickaxe if you're German, and you just hold left button and you just whack away. There's very little to it, right? Now, those logistics are a fundamental part to success in the game. If we needed to fall back to that position, they act as a defensible position because now there's, you know, sandbags or machine gun nests that my compatriots can hop on, right? Mm-hmm. Or we can build mortars, and then the mortar person can hop into the mortar and fire down mortars on enemy positions. So I understand that it's important, but man, it really can feel tedious. And if it wasn't for that constant reminder that, you know, I'm contributing to the whole, I would never do this. You know what I mean? It's so tedious, but it has to be done. You know, it has to be done.
How long does it take you to, let's say, construct a forward operating base?
I mean, it depends how much of a forwarding operating base you want, right?
So, how about a modest forward operating base?
So, okay, so for example, tonight, right? We take our truck, we drive pretty far because we want to put the forward operating base sort of behind enemy lines, right? Mm. My section leader is the one that puts the forward operating base down, at which point we all have to hold left click, and it goes faster if you have more people, but I don't know, like 30 seconds maybe of just, okay, you know, holding left click, a minute of holding left click. And then my job is to start building other soft defenses. So I was building sandbags. So I hit the T button, I lay a sandbag at different intervals, and then I have to go to each sandbag and do that same holding down the left button to shovel it for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I might spend 15 straight minutes just looking at the ground, you know, holding shovel.
Shoveling.
That is, meanwhile, I'm hearing gunfire as people are having this like intense battle to the north, right? And I'm just like, ooh, one of these days, baby, you know, when they come down here, I'm going to really just fuck up some Germans, right? Like, that's sort of what's going on. But
this war was won by sandbags.
I mean, look, in the long run, you know, supply lines, all of those babies are important. You know, at some point I do get in the action, right? Like, I built a anti-tank gun and I used it to fire on a couple of tanks and some other vehicles and whatnot. So you feel like you are contributing to that war fight. But I think even in that end, right, there's two things that arise when I'm thinking about something like Postscriptum, right? One is, what could the game be offering to make this process of building a more rewarding experience? Mm-hmm. And then two, what is the reason I don't immediately hate it and say I'm never going to fucking play this game again, right? I think the second one is related to the first one, which is I feel as though I'm contributing to a whole, and that building process, while I know is maybe tedious, like the creation itself is tedious, it's satisfying to be aware of or receive that positive feedback that I'm coming to some other greater conclusion, or I'm empowering myself, and it's a form of investment into the future. And I think the more that they can make that clear, the better. Right now, when I'm shoveling, it doesn't show me how much further along I am making progress towards finishing the sandbag wall, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if that would break the realism for people, but I do think sharing that information is one way of just tricking the brain into reminding you that, yes, this tedium creative process is contributing to something. You are making progress towards some goal, and that goal might just be building one sandbag, but, you know, in the case of, say, numerous other simulation games or building games, you might feel as though, oh, I'm 80% with my way towards a treehouse or an upgrade to the spikes or a better axe. You know, like there are those ways of enabling that positive feedback to you during that creative process that isn't even necessarily giving you immediate results. It's just giving you immediate feedback.
Right. It's is there a satisfying, you know, tactical or aesthetic element to it? I mean, this sounds shallow at first, but like, stick with me for a second. So I feel like, in the article, he mentions a game called Townscaper, which neither of us had played, but looks very cool. And the videos, there's just a very pleasant way that things animate and kind of click into place. And there's almost something tactile to the building of the town. In Postscriptum, are you getting any sort of aesthetic enjoyment out of, you know, does this sand sound like real sand? You know, is this a satisfying action to take?
I would say yes, actually. I think Postscriptum does sound effects extremely well. Yeah. I mean, most of the time, the sound effects that are good are you know, bullet fire or like a flak cannon, you know?
Right.
Like, man, when you hear an AT round go off and it just shakes the ground around the, you know, the flak 88 or something, it is very viscerally satisfying.
Yep.
I think in a way, what's satisfying to me is knowing all of the steps that I'm taking and how it's contributing to that hole, which I hear via voice comms, right?
Yeah.
My crew is talking to me, or I can look at the map while I'm doing this and see the landscape and how it's changing as a result of my actions. And, you know, maybe if I know that I built a mortar and there's mortars raining down on some enemies, you know, I know that I played a role in that. And so that it's really more, aesthetic certainly is a part of it, but I think much more it's just informational, you know?
Right.
I mean, even something like, you know, League of Legends or a lot of other games where you play as support classes, sometimes when you're playing as a support class, what you have to do is feed information to your team. You're also contributing to that whole, right? I mean, it's not the same thing as being creative in the way that this article is talking about, but I do think being able to provide yourself information while you're doing that process is satisfying, you know?
Right.
Because can you basically multitask? Can you both build while thinking about something else? I think when we think about Sam building a Lego house, right? When you're building it, you're already thinking about, well, where am I going to put the next room, or how do I need to move these pieces so this other piece can get next to it, you know? And so there's a puzzle solving component to building that. And I think that can scratch that itch as well. And I think some games that are having creative elements, even if they're just a small piece of it, would reward you more if it contributed to that feeling of though you were planning something.
Do you feel like the preponderance of crafting mechanics in so many video games these days is it going after the creative element, or is it kind of a false, like a hollow creativity?
I mean, I think it's probably mostly hollow, to be honest. I mean, going back to The Last of Us.
Yeah.
I mean, how fun is it to craft incendiary rounds?
Yeah.
You know, how fun is it to craft needles and stuff, right? I don't think crafting in those, to be fair, I don't think crafting in The Last of Us is meant to be satisfying by crafting it. I think it's meant to create a sense of tension when your resources are low, which I think 90% of the time in that game works as it's intended. But I think a lot of times when crafting is added to a game, it's to add these extra steps. It's to increase playtime and not because it's satisfying in its own right. I think when it's done best, crafting feels as though you can earn small rewards that can then contribute to big ones. It's a way of rewarding player. I think something like World of Warcraft and being able to craft your own mats is something, right? Like, you're killing all of these fucking wolves anyway. You might as well skin them. Great, you've skinned them. Now what do you do with all this leather? Well, you know, if you level up leather working, then you can make yourself a fucking sweet wolfskin hat, you know?
Right.
That at least feels like you're working towards something. Crafting where it's just do these steps because you need it, because then you need the bullets or whatever thing to do this other resource that's limited. I mean, I don't think that works for me.
This conversation had kind of crystallized that for me too, where it's not that if a game has crafting in it, I'm just going to put it down, but I guess I just never really saw too much of the appeal. But I think it's because a lot of times crafting is implemented in that exact way that you describe, where it's not a creative exercise. It's just an assembling exercise.
Yep.
And which is funny, because in The Last of Us, it's kind of the opposite, where I find that game is highly aesthetically pleasing, as weird as that sounds. I mean, the visuals are amazing. The sound, I mean, and because I've been playing it at night a lot, I've been using headphones to kind of keep the screams at bay.
Of which there are a lot.
But like, wearing headphones in that game is like, man, like, this sound design is incredible. Like, just the nuanced, tiny little sounds that they have, even when you're picking up a bottle of water or something, is just, it's just very kind of aesthetically pleasing to the human sensibility. But then the actual action itself, it's like, oh, I can craft, you know, there's whatever, six different materials to craft six different types of things, and there's a combo for each of them, and that's pretty much it, you know?
Well, let me ask you this though, like, would it be more satisfying if you had to be more involved in it? And the first thing I think to is a comparable mechanic that we can take or leave 90% of the time, which is lockpicking, right? Right? Some games, lockpicking is just hold the left button, you know? Sometimes it's maneuver the thumbsticks in two different directions so that you can find the combination, right?
Play Pipe Dream,
right? Each of those are different ways of doing lockpicks. Pipe Dream is that more gamey version, right? Is that more satisfying to you? Would you be more satisfied if instead of just you pick your components, hold square, and you've made the item, you have to sort of manually shove like MacGyver shit together where you're like taking scissors and taping it to like a can of like Pepsi so that it's like an explosive? Like, I don't know if that would be more satisfying or not, you know?
I mean, it would be more creative, I think. I mean, it wouldn't be more satisfying, or maybe it would be tedious, but if you had to fashion your own, you know, bat with a rusty nail on it versus just picking it up or automatically combining two things to make it, then all of a sudden you have this investment in it that you previously didn't have.
I mean, it's just such a whole different way of thinking about design, though, right? Because you're taking something that is normally small and pointless and making it sort of center stage. Because then my natural inclination is, well, then in that case, I like the idea of what if, you know, if you're careful, you can make a really good bat with a nail in it. But if you're in a hurry and you're just shoving nails into a bat, you know, and like glue gunning it, then you're going to have a shitty bat with a nail in it, you know?
Yeah. And if there's a physicality to it, then it starts to get into like, you know, Octodad territory, where it's like, I meant to put this nail in, but I actually jammed it into my hand by accident. Whoops, you know?
Yeah, dude, Octodad The Last of Us. Sign me up for that.
I mean, it's a game. Well, I mean, it's a game about dads. So, I mean, it's already in the same genre.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It just feels like I like that idea a lot. But I think it's one of those things that requires so much work that oftentimes, why bother, you know?
Well, and it also becomes the only thing about that game. I remember a really long time ago, there was a game that I played for a while called Miasmata.
And
it was, it had an extremely involved mapping system where you had to triangulate different coordinates in order to truly like map out quadrants of the map. And it wasn't just a thing where, I got the map console and now it unlocked this portion of the map. Like, you really had to map the territory. But that was one of the main parts of that game. Whereas in 99% of other games, you just plug into a console or climb a tower or do whatever, and then the map opens up. Like, this took that mechanic and made it a more creative exercise. But the cost of doing that is, this is now what your game is about.
Yep. Yeah. I almost wonder if it's better to just give you the thing then, you know, at that point. Or think of another way of being creative. Because then at that point, that's the more satisfying element, right? Like, what's a good example? Maybe like the glue gun from Prey, right? Arkane's version of Prey.
Right.
It is a gun, but all it does is just shoot globs of white glue that you can sort of build onto things, right? You don't need to construct, well, I guess you do kind of. You're not really constructing like ladders through the environment, right? But they give you this thing and then let you be creative and use it however you want, you know?
Right.
Like in the case of a stick with a nail in it, maybe they just give you nails and they give you sticks and then you just sort of figure out what to do from there, you know?
Right, right.
And you can use them however you want.
I used to rebuild my shelter and just lived a quiet life in the wasteland.
Sure. I mean, like, you know, I think having multiple options of having to build it is helpful too, right? I mean, at least in that sense, The Last of Us limits you to what you can do because you only have so many resources, you know?
And so there's so many actions to do where it's like you're only going to create this for the end goal is bashing someone's face in, and that's always the end goal. It's not about like, oh, this bat lets me move obstacles out of the way or climb faster or whatever. It's like, there's only one thing to do with any of this crafting.
Yes. It is a mechanic that's in pursuit of tension, not creativity.
Yeah.
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 Although I think what you could say though is by having the limitation, it forces you to be creative, right? Do you look at, let's say you're in the heat of combat or you're about to get into the heat of combat. You have enough resources to build a med kit, a sticky bomb, like a, you know, like where they just walk over and get destroyed, or a stun bomb. Which do you use?
Right.
Because each of them will shape how you encounter combat, you know?
Right. Yeah, that whole it's a, the scarcity is the challenge there versus the creativity inherently.
Yeah. But I mean, I think on the far end, another Graham deep cut callback, The Incredible Machine, which is a Rube Goldberg game that we were talking about before recording as well. That's the type of game that, I mean, again, I don't think that I want my crafting in The Last of Us to cut into a Rube Goldberg like mechanical system.
Although, it would be so funny so if like funny, Ellie dude. Like knocks over one domino and then it's like dent 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 dent, and then like after 5 minutes a rock falls on a guy's head.
Sure, man. Like actually that would be very, very cool. I think that would be great. You know, The Incredible Machine just gives you a bunch of tools and then you have to figure out how to make the Rube Goldberg device execute the thing that you want. And there's potentially multiple answers to every challenge, right? If you've got all of the tools to do that. For something like The Last of Us, what I don't know what that would look like, you know? I mean, I guess, I don't know, maybe another example would be upgrading your weapons, right? Mm-hmm. Is there an opportunity to be creative there? Like, you're deciding what to go down, but it's just a resource check. You know, do you have enough doodads to augment your gun versus, oh, I think I'm going to attach a spear to the tip of my pistol because then I can use it as a bayonet or something.
Right, right. There is a game about creativity that I still play approximately once per week also because of my kid. Animal Crossing.
Sure, yeah.
I was thinking about Animal Crossing a lot because that game is nothing but fucking crafting, but the creativity is around what does this island look like? Yes. Where do I put things? Can I make paths? Can I do whatever? And it's, I think that's where that game hooks people because it is just, it is purely creativity. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to destroy things in Animal Crossing because it's meant to be a more just pleasant experience. But every time I think, well, I've done everything there is to do in this game, I visit someone else's island and it's like, holy crap. Like, how did they make this thing? There's a certain amount of creativity that comes not with creating the object, but doing the meta world design.
Well, and that's what's dissatisfying in my experience with Animal Crossing is I can't get to that creative moment fast enough. You know, there's just too many things that slow me down and stop me from exercising my creativity.
Yeah. And it's weird because it's one of those things where it's more like playing Minecraft alone in many ways where you're doing it for... you're self-directed, you know, you're not adding to like this other, I mean, I guess whatever you're the Happy Home Academy is always watching you and grading you or whatever, but and you know, really you're mainly doing it because you want to set up the island the way you want to set up the island. It's not like Postscriptum where there's another big objective or it's not even like Nobi Nobi Boy. I remember liking to create a Nobi Nobi Boy and just creating length in the Nobi Nobi Boy to add to the bigger goal of who knows what, you know?
Yeah. I mean, speaking of being creative where in areas where you would want to be normally destructive, I think, and again, we'll get to The Last of Us when we do a full debrief, but one of my thoughts as I'm playing through the game is that the nature of the series, right, as a, I don't know what you would call it, like a horror action game,
right?
Sort of limits the room for you to be creative, right? They want you to have very few options because that creates high tension.
Yeah.
What it's made me really appreciate more is Uncharted 4, because that's a game where I think the landscape allows you... I mean, you're being destructive because you're just killing dudes, right? But the landscape is built for you to exercise creativity around it, right?
Yeah.
And in that way, it feels like you're being creative even when all you're doing is just using the landscape in a unique way. You know, if it's... Right. Oh, I'm going to stealth around and then take this rope and then slam down on them. And I think when The Last of Us 2 is at its best, it can feel fluid like that. You know, it can feel as though you're being creative. You're not actually creating anything. And I think that's what the brunt of this article is really talking about, right? The act of actually producing something. But I think the joy, the unique joy that you get by creating something and puzzling it out and building it and feeling like you've produced this thing is to give you enough tools to feel as though even in a destructive environment, you can create that sense by being creative with how you're approaching, say, combat. And I don't think The Last of Us does that especially well.
Well, and I think it's the pinnacle of that sort of, creative or, you know, artistic violence or however you want to put it, is something like Dishonored, where
yes,
there's just like
Dishonored's great. Yeah.
So many different ways of approaching this problem that, you know, half of which I'm never even going to think about, let alone execute on. But you watch people do speed runs, or you watch people do, crossbow only runs or whatever, and you see all these like different things that you could have done at this point in time.
Well, and to go back to the Rube Goldberg device, it literally lets you create Rube Goldberg devices, right? Like, you'll throw a sticky bomb on a rat and then possess the rat and then scare this guy who triggers that trap, you know? And it creates this cascading explosion, and then it forces you into chaos, and you have to be creative to then solve that chaos. Like, it is, I think it does that probably better than any game I can think of, at least off the top of my head, in terms of giving you that same sense of creativity, you know, with the normal tools that we would have for, you know, in a shooter or something like that.
Yep, definitely. Have you ever gotten into something where it's not necessarily the point of the game, but it allows for you to get really deep? Like Fallout 4 had the whole like base building thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Or gosh, I don't know. I'm trying to think of some other examples, but every once in a while you'll find a thing in a game where, oh, I can, this is a whole nother little game unto itself that, you know, it's hiding, creativity hiding in a game that is otherwise fairly straightforward.
Yeah. I mean, certainly games that allow rich customization or base building. I mean, even maybe something like Skyrim in a way, certainly with like being, I mean, in terms of building out your character, maybe this wouldn't really fit, but one thought would be to something like Rainbow Six, right? Where you are literally building defenses, right? You're boarding up doors, you're boarding up windows, you're laying down traps, but there's enough creativity about where you're doing those things,
right?
When thinking about what your opponents are doing, that it feels as though it's an important decision when you're even just, you know, running through the normal thing that you do, which is, you know, board up a wall, close off passages and stuff.
Right.
I mean, there's strategic depth to that. Certainly one that, you know, I haven't mastered with any small amount of time to my game, but I think that amount of depth, even in something like a shooter, is kind of surprising.
All right, everyone, get ready to drink. You know what?
Chrono
Trigger. You know. Well, I wish, but this is one of our new canon, which should give you a hint.
Okay.
Let me talk to you about Death Stranding.
Oh yeah, okay.
I mean, there was a point
building,
in that game,
building bridges.
Yeah, well, where like I really had to stop myself, where I was like, I'm never going to finish this game if all I'm doing is doing this daily commute into the wild, getting my materials, going back to the highway that I'm building, and
you're contributing to the hole, Scott. Like, you know what I mean? There's
that,
some
that was why
sap.
It was so alluring. Like, I could see it. Like every day when I came back, I was like, oh man, thanks, Blunt Rager 69. You really helped us out here. You know,
I mean, that's why Postscriptum is satisfying. You know, like it is. The Strand games, where you can feel as though your creations contribute to that whole, for sure, right? Absolutely.
And that's so much of that game was not even about the, you know, I mean, that game, oh God, that game was literally about trying not to kill people. And so it rewards you for avoiding folks and just going out and getting those materials and bringing it back. And there was something just very... And it's not creative in the most open way, like something like Minecraft is, but the some of the most glorious parts of that game are seeing that highway get constructed across the whole country.
But see, you know what I would say though is there is significant room for improvement, going back to the Kotaku article, in just the very act of creating, because the road will always be in the same place. You know, and you can choose where the bridges are, but let's be frank, there were a lot of limitations about where you could put a bridge. You know, it's not as free. I think the most freeing thing was building routes for the zip line.
Yeah.
By far the most satisfying thing, to build a route and then take that route. Right.
Right.
That is, man, that is the definition of creating in a game that is the not the main thing, but doing that is super, super satisfying.
Yeah.
I think being okay with players potentially breaking your game by giving them more control over where to put things. Like, what would the game look like if they, rather than laying down the road that you had to rebuild, they just presuppose you an ability to make roads wherever the fuck you want, you know?
Just like, up the mountain.
Yeah, like, let's imagine you want to build a road, you put a little pod here, you put a little pod in the end, you dump a bunch of resources, and then the game just figures out what that road looks like. And maybe you make a road that's literally impassable because there are rocks in the way, or the incline is too much for certain types of vehicle. So be it, right? I wonder if that would have been a more satisfying experience, because you can see that creativity played out, you know?
Right.
Because when we say the building of a road in Death Stranding, what we really mean is trudging materials so that the road gets built. You don't ever really build it, you know? Yeah. The building itself is not in your hands. Really,
it's
only
more
bridges.
The zip lines are like, you know, one of the more satisfying things for me is like, all I have is ropes and ladders, but I'm going to try to make it obvious. Like, it's not obvious the way you'd get up this hill, but I've positioned the ropes and ladders in such a way that there is a clear path, and now I need to like try to highlight it for people.
Yeah. Were you dissatisfied, though, when... Because at some point you get so late in the game, right? And you're building all of these roads. But by the time you found the road to build, you don't really need the road anymore. You know, you're already so far ahead that you're not going to be backtracking until certain pivotal moments of that game, but...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely for people, like... Had I the time to reinvest and just go back in to do post-game stuff, I feel like I really could have gotten further into it. Into that, but to your point, there's a certain point where you just want to drive the story forward, and it's only after the narrative wraps up that you'd find your way back to certain areas.
Yeah, I mean, just wonder if that creative process is also just inherently more rewarding if you can reap the rewards immediately, you know, versus in Death Stranding, you sort of just have to be satisfied with the idea that someone else is going to be reaping the brunt of those rewards. Although I'm still not sure how that works, you know?
Well, there's also the idea of the, I guess light spoilers for Death Stranding, but at the very end when you need to make your way all the way back and you're like, oh, this is where I started this road and people finished it. This is amazing, you know?
That's very true, yeah. I feel like I carried most of the load in my instance.
But that's what I mean. Like, you could be... That could very well happen, where it's like, man, you lazy bastards. Like, yeah. I started this whole thing.
For sure.
I don't know. I haven't done one of these games for a while, like just in terms of, you know, anything, whether it's, you know, SimCity or whether it's even like a simple puzzle game or something. But I wonder if it's time to maybe post Last of Us, get back into something a little bit more, you know, free form or, you know, open-ended at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while.
Will you recruit me to your postscriptum?
You don't want none of this, Scott. I've seen some shit. Do you really want to storm Utah Beach for an hour and never make it out of your boat? Because that's what we're talking about.
No, I want to be, in Britain on a base, you know, organizing screws and nuts and bolts and stuff.
If you want to hop on sometime, it's like $30. I think it's on sale right now. Buy Postscriptum and we will run a logistics truck together and it will be great. We'll never see an enemy in sight. We will just build bases. It'll be great.
And then post-war, we'll build up, you know, in-universe UPS or whatever based off of our logistics capacity and become billionaires.
Hell yeah. Let's just turn it into Crazy Taxi and we'll just shuttle people around the front.
All right, we will leave it there for this week. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our forward operating base. Come on down, help us build great things by sharing this podcast with all of your friends.
All right, thank you so much for listening, everyone. We will be talking to you next week.
So long.